It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Happy Friday. I hope you're good. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. I hope your families are good. I hope whatever the hell it is that you're doing, you good. That's it. I'm good. Thank you so much to super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He's holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. And thank you to you for listening. This is when the show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can lock in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. You got yourself a smart speaker. You ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to be rolling with you for the next 4 hours. So if you're rolling on the road, you're rolling to vacation, you're rolling from work, you're rolling to work, you're rolling to the club, I don't know where you're rolling, roll with us. You want to contact us? You can do that too. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can also find me online. I am everywhere. I will say it again. I am everywhere on the internet. I am at JR Sport Brief. Friday. Oh, we got some big news. Jalen Brunson takes a massive discount to stay with the New York Knicks. I will tell you what the numbers are momentarily. No discounts here. We got a big old guest. Well, we got plenty of big guests. How about in another 20 minutes? And Paul Skeens is officially going to be starting for the National League in the All-Star game next week. And so we're going to have a conversation with Jared Diamond, who covers all things Major League Baseball for the Wall Street Journal. He's going to come through and join us in about 20 minutes. So we'll get to some baseball. The ESPYs were last night. Next hour, we have a big guest. This is one of the most, you know what? He is one of the most accomplished U.S. soccer players of all time. Clint Dempsey is going to come through and join us next hour. I know there's been a lot of talk, a lot of conversations about Team USA Soccer, and they fired their coach and Greg Berhalter. Who better to talk to than someone who, tied with Landon Donovan, has scored the most goals in U.S. men's national team history? Yes, Clint Dempsey is going to join us next hour. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, speaking of the ESPYs, there was a lot of history made last night at the ESPYs as they honored women. They honored women and women in sports, and Serena Williams was your host. Well, we have a trailblazing woman who's going to join us later on in the show. This may not necessarily be something you're familiar with, but I learned about it and said, oh, no, this is a must for me. Emma Jane Wilson is a jockey. You heard me correctly. She is a jockey. And later on when we talk to her, I'm going to tell you how much money she's made. She has made more money than any jockey that's been out here. Woman, it's ridiculous. My mind was blown. So we got a lot of big guests. Clint Dempsey next hour, later in the show. Emma Jane Wilson, Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal coming through in about 15 minutes. We got a lot to discuss. First of all, super producer and host Ryan Hickey, how the hell are you?
Outstanding, JR. By far outstanding today.
Oh, I think I know why you tell everybody. I think I know, but tell everybody why you feel outstanding. Go ahead.
Today, this Jalen Brunson contract news, I can officially say my 30 years on this earth, this is the most optimistic, realistically, I've ever been for the Knicks.
Oh, wow. Wow, yeah. It's kind of mind-boggling. And so for anyone who, I don't know, hasn't been on the internet or whatever for the past hour or 40 minutes or whatever, Jalen Brunson, the star of the New York Knicks, the man who was selected in the second round by the Dallas Mavericks, was expected to be nothing but a career backup. Jalen Brunson signed an extension with the Knicks. 4 years, $156 million. Okay, that's still a lot of money, right? Now, there's more. If he waited until the end of next season, Jalen Brunson could have signed a 5-year, $269 million contract. Let me say that again. He signed $156 million. He left $269 million alone. He basically saved the New York Knicks $113 million. Is Jalen Brunson on drugs? Is he a great basketball player? Yes, the answer is yes. He was an all-star, all-NBA this year. He's a great basketball player. Has this man tripped and hit his head? It's rare. I don't, in the world, when you could make that type of money that you just say, I'll pass. I'm good. You know what? When people use the, and I get it, the guy's retired. People used to say, well, Tom Brady used to leave money on the table. Tom Brady was married to a supermodel who was making buckets of money more than him, if you could even imagine that. Tom Brady was late in his career. Tom Brady just got a $300+ million contract to look at football games and talk about it, okay? I don't think Jalen Brunson has a $300-400 million contract in his future to talk about basketball. I also don't think Jalen Brunson is dating a global supermodel. I don't think he is. If he would, I think I'd know. He's married to a woman, I think. Anyway, yeah, he did. He got married. Not a supermodel. Here's the deal. Here are the facts. Yeah, he left money on the table. The New York Knicks can continue to add pieces as the salary cap grows higher. Jalen Brunson has talked about, even after the elimination at the hand of the Indiana Pacers, where his hand was broken, Julius Randle's shoulder was broken, Mitchell Robinson's leg was broken, everybody and their mother on the Knicks, they were all broken. OG Anunoby, his elbow's broken, everybody was broken. Jalen Brunson, he rode until the wheels fell off. Obviously, his dad is an assistant coach on the Knicks. Obviously, Thibodeau, if you didn't know this, Thibodeau coached Jalen Brunson's dad. This is all in the family, okay? The president of the New York Knicks, Leon Rose, represented all of them pretty much before he became the president of the New York Knicks. This is family business in New York right now. This is a perfect combination. This is so crazy that it's easy to ignore the owner of the New York Knicks, who's an interesting fellow, and Jim James Dolan. He hired the right guy in Leon Rose, and things have actually worked out for the New York Knicks, as Hickey just said, for the better part of the past 30 years in a way that we have never seen before. Okay? Jalen Brunson, after the Knicks were eliminated by the Pacers, he said this. He said the New York Knickerbockers are a special team. Listen to this.
This team is it's special in a way that I can't really explain. The way we just fought, the way we just didn't use excuses, you know, we just kept finding ways and to the best of our abilities, and that was just our mindset, and I just love the fact that we have that mindset.
I appreciate the fact that the guy just plays. I appreciate the fact that somebody like Jalen Brunson, this man wakes up, he busts ass on a basketball court, and he goes home. There's no funny social media messages. Even he has a podcast with his teammate Josh Hart, but it's fun. No trash, no garbage. He's just pretty relaxed and chill. This guy was up, I think, at Dykeman. You're not familiar with Dykeman? He was at a street basketball tournament in New York City, north of Harlem, the other day. Just chilling, relaxing. It's not every day that NBA players just hang outside. He was with his dad. I think his mom was there. He's just chilling, watching the guys play ball. Stood up, raised his hand, said, yeah, I love y'all, and sat back down. People appreciate that. I told you about his podcast. How can I even forget? He's reunited with his teammates that he won championships with. This man won 2 championships at Villanova, okay? Already had Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart. The New York Knicks just traded for Mikal Bridges. You don't think they'll be able to pay him? They brought him over from Brooklyn. 2 years, $50 million left on his contract. The New York Knicks just signed OG Anunoby to a 5-year, $212 million contract. The New York Knicks got to spend a lot of money, and Jalen Brunson just saved them. I told you this man is not afraid to hang out with the fans in New York City. I'll tell you this. He might be. And people like Carmelo, but people are like, man, do something else besides score and rebound. Like, help us win something. Carmelo didn't do it. There were other elements of his game that were missing. Jalen Brunson, he is the most popular Nick since Carmelo Anthony. Jalen Brunson is probably the most beloved Nick, I'd say this with no problem, I believe since Charles Oakley. And I think the love is mutual. Also, after the elimination, Jalen Brunson, he talked about how the Knicks fans have been amazing.
They have been nothing but amazing to myself, to this team, to my family. And it's really cool. And so just so thankful for them.
Hickey, you're in New York. I'm from New York. There is New York is a different place. The fans in New York are different. They can be abrasive. They can be impatient. They can be sometimes, I believe, overly optimistic. But one thing that the fans in New York are passionate. They appreciate people who go out and ball and work hard. That's it. Can you work hard? I bust my ass all day. I had to get on the train, the subway. My subway was late. You know, I don't know. Somebody ran over my foot. The taxi stunk in the morning time. You know, my food was late. My boss ticked me off. It ain't easy living in New York. And to sit down in the nighttime, in the evening, and watch a basketball game, all you could ask for is for a bunch of dudes, a bunch of millionaires, to go out there and play hard. And in New York, if you play hard, there's a reason why Charles Oakley was beloved. It wasn't because he was the best player on the New York Knicks. Charles Oakley was beloved because he went out there and he played harder than everybody. Jalen Brunson, most times the smallest guy on the court, plays harder, has to play harder than everybody. And Hickey, he's appreciated for it, man.
That he is. I mean, you said it, like, I think New Yorkers more than anything appreciate a guy that doesn't complain, just goes out there every day, gives you everything he has. Obviously, we want to see you win, clearly, right? But, like, appreciating that individual effort, I think, is paramount for at least, I mean, a lot of fans everywhere, but I think that's appreciated here in New York especially. And, like, I think this move, on top of the 2 years we've seen so far, I mean, barring anything drastic and unexpected, as long as what we've seen in the past continues in the future, I feel like this move cements the fact that number 11 will be in the rafters one day of MSG.
If Jalen Brunson continues what he's doing, and all things considered, given his size, he's been pretty durable. He had a little knick-knack injuries, break a hand in the postseason. Okay, we see. He's a legend. He's a living, walking legend, and he's been a Knick for 2 years. The fact that I could even have a conversation and say that he's the most beloved Knick ever and skip over the past, 30 years, that says a lot. It says a lot, unfortunately, about the New York Knicks and where they've been, but it says a lot about what he's brought to the organization, something they haven't had since the 90s, and that's stability. Patrick Ewing was the linchpin of the New York Knicks in the 80s into the 90s, the mid-late 80s into the 90s. Patrick Ewing wasn't always appreciated. He wasn't always loved. Patrick Ewing wasn't some big old warm fuzzy teddy bear all the time. I think in hindsight, he was appreciated. He left it all out there. But Jalen Brunson, the small guy, the relatable guy, the dude barely cracks 6 feet. He's a legend in New York. He hasn't even won anything. If they can ever win anything, my God. Yeah, forget rafters, man. I don't know. In New York City, the Knicks fans, they'd explode. But let me tell you this. I asked you if the man might have bumped his head. He left $113 million on the table. That's not to say he wouldn't get hurt. Hopefully that's not the case. Understand this. In 2028, 4 years from now, he could still sign a new contract. 4 years, $323 million. Or in 2029, he could sign a contract for $418 million. So Jalen Brunson, a man who was not a first-round pick, had to get to where he is coming out of the second round. The Dallas Mavericks didn't want him. He's playing the long game, and he's doing something that he's used to doing here in his NBA career. Yeah, he's making a lot of money. He ain't Poe. Not with the OR. He ain't Poe. It looks like he's playing the long game in regards to his money. Jalen Brunson, 4-year contract extension with the New York Knicks, leaving $113 million on the table for the Knicks to continue to add pieces and have roster flexibility. Where do they do that at? LeBron James just saved the Lakers $3 million. Come on, that's a billionaire. Congratulations to the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, and their fans. The Knicks are going to be competing for quite some time. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We got a lot to do. I told you, U.S. soccer legend Clint Dempsey is going to come through and join us next hour. We're going to talk to one of the most successful female athletes in the world. Emma Jane Wilson is going to join us later on in the show. But when we come back on the other side, you know, Jalen Brunson had to fight for where he is. Second round pick. Had to wait for his money. We're going to have a conversation with Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal. Covers Major League Baseball. I want to talk to him about a phenom, the anti-Brunson, a guy named Paul Skenes who's going to start for the National League.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on
the
Infinity.
We're just getting warmed up.
Sports
the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports
Network. Right before we went to break, I talked about Jalen Brunson.
This New York Knicks is leaving a whole lot of money on the table to ensure future roster flexibility. That's a lot for a guy who was selected in the second round of the NBA draft. Typically, you want to go out there and get all the money that you can. But right now, I want to talk about an individual who is expected to be amazing, and damn it, he already is. I'm talking about somebody who went from LSU and the draft, and he's already in the big leagues. His name is Paul Skenes. And then I also want to talk about the All-Star game. I want to talk about the trade deadline. And to discuss it all right now, we're being joined by Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal. Hey, Jared, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I hope you're doing better than it has shown online. I hope so.
Finally feeling a little bit better, but it was a difficult week, and I'm glad to have something other than COVID to talk about with you.
I know. Well, thank you for that. Well, let's talk about the man who was named a starter for the National League. Let's talk about Paul Skenes. Any shock or surprise based on where he was exactly a year ago to right now? There has to be a little surprise, right? What say you?
No one could have expected this. You just couldn't have. As great as he was in college and as huge of a prospect as he was, you never imagine someone's going to go from being drafted essentially a year ago to starting in the All-Star game. That just does not happen, even for giant prospects, right? He's a huge prospect. So there's been other huge prospects. You think back to, say, Steven Strasburg, who kind of came up with similar hype, and he was very, very good out of the gate, but nothing like what we've seen out of Paul Skenes. And honestly, I'm a little surprised, pleasantly so, that he's actually getting the starting job on the All-Star game on Tuesday. It was clearly the right decision, but baseball doesn't always make good decisions.
And that's correct. Baseball doesn't always make the decision. Baseball, by the way, doesn't always make the right decisions. And speaking of decisions, a lot of controversy yesterday after he was pulled 7 innings of no-hit ball, 99 pitches. His manager, Shelton, was saying that he was getting tired. He's gassed. And Skenes says, I was feeling a little tired. What are your thoughts on that? I didn't have a problem with him getting pulled, especially when you think about preservation of his body and his arm through a whole year.
Hey, look, it's so frustrating as fans to witness something like that. And it's not the first time we've seen time and time again in recent years, pitchers pull out of games with no hitters because of pitch counts and an effort to preserve their arms or whatever it is. The one thing that you just mentioned is the one thing that sort of makes me more okay with it, and that's Paul Skenes acknowledging that maybe he was starting to get a little tired, and maybe he's just saying that to save face, to protect his manager, who knows. But let's take him at his word. If he really is coming off the mound and saying, yeah, I am starting to feel a little tired, you kind of have no choice but to take him out of the game at that point. I do believe that these pitch counts and things like this are often overblown, and we don't really know very much about what makes pitchers' arms sort of explode the way they do. But one thing we do know is that fatigue is a major factor. So if he was tired, I guess you have no choice.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Jared Diamond is joining us from the Wall Street Journal. As we pull up into the weekend and we get to the celebrity game down in Texas and they do the home run derby, what else should we really look forward to over All-Star Weekend down in Arlington?
Well, I am curious to see what they're doing with this skills competition concept, the sort of auditioning this year after the Futures game. I don't know what kind of impact it's going to have, but I like that they're trying different things, right? I think in all sports, the All-Star game as a concept has kind of lost some of its luster. I think that's absolutely true in baseball because of things like interleague play and the like, right? Like, I think we all sort of know that the All-Star game isn't what it used to be. So I like that baseball is trying to find ways to spice it up. And really what this should all be about is showcasing the incredible talent that baseball has scattered across the sport. Paul Skeen starting on Tuesday is one great example of that. But if there's other ways, other things they could do besides just the home run derby moving forward, I think that would be great and something baseball needs to continue sort of looking into. And then, of course, we have the big event. You have the home run derby, right? Pete Alonso is back in it going to try to win it for like the millionth time. And there's just so many great players in the game right now. And this really is, it should be an opportunity to showcase them. And you just kind of hope that baseball does it the way they should.
Well, Jared, there are more than 30 first-time All-Stars by the time we pull up to the game on Tuesday. What do you feel that this is indicative of when it comes to baseball and its future? Are some of these guys one and done? Do you think there's some continuity? What are your thoughts?
I think what we're seeing is I don't want to say a changing of the guard moment, but it definitely is a situation where, you know, the great stars of the last X number of years are reaching the end, right? I mean, Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw and Mike Trout and all of these guys that we have loved to watch for the last however many years, they're still around and some of them are still very good, but they're not necessarily the stars anymore. And there is sort of this new crop of players coming up that everyone's going to see now, right? Especially, for instance, some of these guys in Baltimore, right? Like Gunnar Henderson, who, you know, probably is going to be leading off for the American League. Adley Rutschman as well for Baltimore playing in that game. I just think that this is a moment where, like, it's a youth movement. There's so many great young players in baseball, and the future is sort of here, and the All-Star rosters are indicative of that.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the Orioles. Even Jordan Westberg had to wait for Devers to go down before he got his chance. You know, earlier in the week, we really took some time to talk about Ellie De La Cruz. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the league right now. Is there a player that's going to be participating in the All-Star game that you think is a hidden gem? Okay, everybody's going to be focused on Skeens. It's going to be his night. He'd probably go out there and strike out the side on 9 pitches. But is there someone that isn't garnering the attention that should?
Well, there's a few guys. And, you know, I guess you'll have to tell me what constitutes sort of a hidden gem, right? Obviously, Bobby Witt Jr. is not starting the game. He plays in Kansas City, right, where you just don't get a lot of attention in general. And I think it's time for everyone to realize, who hasn't already, that Bobby Witt Jr. is an absolute superstar, and he's not starting the game. He probably would be in any other year if not for Gunnar Henderson. So that's one guy. I think people know who he is. So here are maybe some guys that people don't know as well. Tarik Skubal on the Tigers, left-handed pitcher. He's probably been the best pitcher in baseball this season, or at least in the American League. You've probably never heard of him because he's on the Tigers. Emmanuel Clase on Cleveland. He's the Cleveland closer. Not his first rodeo in the All-Star game, but this guy has been absolutely insane this season. He has an 0.83 ERA. There's a case to be made that he is your Cy Young winner at this point and not Skubal. It's one of those two guys. So I'm looking forward to seeing him pitch. And look, you mentioned Elly De La Cruz. My goodness, I'm not sure there's a more electric player in all of baseball, at least talent-wise. The guy's absolutely incredible, the things he could do. He's so big. He's so strong. He throws the ball like 98 miles an hour across the infield. So much fun. So much fun to watch.
And Jared Diamond joining us from the Wall Street Journal. Well, once we get past all of the fun of next week, it's going to be a little bit of pain for a few of the players as they are going to get shipped off to places that they may not want to go. The trade deadline is July 30th. Who do you think are some top candidates that are likely to be moved, and who are some teams that are looking to be buyers?
It's very strange this year at this moment. It's very strange. And the reason for that is because there are a lot of buyers and not a lot of sellers. And in some ways, that's by design, right? By adding the third wild card like baseball did, suddenly there's a lot more teams that sort of believe they're in contention, right? And like you just heard today, the Tampa Bay Rays, who have not played very well, you know, by all might be selling based on how they played. And they're like, no, we think we're going to make a run of the playoffs. We could be buyers. So it's going to be a very, very good market. If you are a seller, you can command the world. One team I think is going to definitely be selling is Toronto. They have pieces. Are you going to see someone like Bo Bichette? No. Will Vladimir Guerrero be traded, right? I think the Blue Jays sort of whole situation kind of fallen apart this year enough that you think that maybe they're going to want to all over. The Cubs have been a big disappointment as well. It makes you wonder if perhaps Cody Bellinger becomes available. That's what I never would have said at the start of the season when everyone thought he was going to be the number three hitter on a potential division winning team. But they've been bad enough that you kind of wonder if they're going to go another direction. A couple other quick names, Jazz Chisholm of the Marlins. You know, he's not a superstar, but he's a good player and he's a guy you'd like to have on your team. He's available. Garrett Crochet is another, an all-star pitcher for the White Sox, left-handed pitcher. The White Sox are terrible. I expect to see him go as well.
Jared, you think about the Dodgers losing to the Phillies. You think about the Astros on an upswing. Think about the Yankees on a current downswing. The Braves have had some surprises on the pitching staff, but some injuries with the bats. What teams do you think are in pole position to be successful in October, or are we going to get another big old surprise?
Well, look, the answer is probably what you just said, that we get a big old surprise, because that is the definition of baseball. It's just impossible to project what's going to happen. The postseason is such a weird crapshoot. But look, as we sit here today on July 12th, the Phillies have clearly been the best team in baseball. I don't think anyone would possibly disagree with that. They've basically been the best team from wire to wire, and they also are very experienced, right? They were in the World Series in 2022. They went to Game 7 of the NLCS just last year. I think everyone was stunned. They didn't end up in the World Series for the second straight year last season, and now they're coming back again with the absolute best team in baseball. So they're going to be the favorites, at least if we sit here now, sort of moving forward. The Dodgers have been very good. Some of the other teams you've mentioned, I think the Orioles also have been great. But the Phillies, they seem like the team to beat because it's a combination of talent and experience. The Orioles are great, but they've been in the playoffs precisely one time with this group. They got swept, and that was that, right? So there's something to be said about you kind of have to prove you could do it in October before we really take you seriously. The Phillies certainly have that.
Hey, Jared, I appreciate you taking the time to drop all the insight, everything from some of our young stars to the All-Star game, the deadline, the postseason, the stretch run. Where can people follow you and all of your work with the Wall Street Journal?
On Twitter, X, whatever you're calling it these days, at Jared Diamond, or of course just on WSJ.com. That's the best place to find all my work.
So thank you, Jared. I appreciate the time, man. You feel better. I'm happy that you're on upswing, okay?
Thanks a lot.
No doubt about it. That Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal covers all things Major League Baseball. Pretty amazing, still mind-blowing to me that you have an All-Star game with 30-plus first-timers. That is absolutely amazing. The phone lines are open. It's 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. If you want to give me a holler, feel free. Knock yourself out. You know, Major League Baseball might have a lot of young players that are on the upswing. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I want to tell you about an old guy who's pretty much putting a stamp on his career in one aspect, and he's saying, I'm done. And then there's a team that's apparently done. We'll talk about that.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal for joining us in the last break. As we took a look at Major League Baseball, the All-Star Game is next week. The Home Run Derby is next week. The Futures Game is next week. The Celebrity Game is next week. I'm assuming they're still going to do that. It used to be T-Mobile carpet that they used to do. Make everybody walk. I think that's one of the only times I've seen Shohei Ohtani out of uniform is walking a pink or red carpet to the All-Star game. Because I'm sure they made him do it. Yeah, all the stars are going to line up. So thank you again to Jared Diamond for coming through and chatting it up with us about all things baseball, especially Paul Skeens. And in a few seconds, I want to share with you the audio as he found out that he will be starting the All-Star game for the National League. And then before we went to break, yeah, Paul Skeens might be getting started right now. I told you there's an athlete who said he is winding things down. We'll get into that maybe now in a few minutes at the top of the hour, but we'll get there. Don't worry. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Eric, he's calling us from Ohio. Eric, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm very well. Eric, how are you?
Good. So initially I called in because Jose Ramirez took the exact same deal Brunson did and left about $100 million on the table. And then I heard the guy from Wall Street Journal. I'm wondering why the Guardians get all the hate. Like, the Guardians were not mentioned as contenders, yet they have the best bullpen in the league. They're top five in offense and have repeatedly had the best record in baseball. Like, I don't understand why nobody has any faith in the Guardians. Oh, by the way, they have five all-stars and probably the best leadoff hitter in baseball. I don't get it. What do the Guardians have to do to get some national attention besides what's-his-name ripping us and saying he doesn't buy the Guardians?
Well, let me ask you. When you start going into, to Jared's credit, you understand how things went last year with the World Series. We had two teams in both the Rangers and Diamondbacks that nobody expected to be there. You think about the Dodgers and all the money that they spent over the past decade. They've even upped that. You can count one World Series there. The New York Yankees have one of the biggest budgets ever. The New York Yankees are kind of scratching and scrambling right now. And so my question to you is, why do you care? I mean, as long as the results are there at the end, what does it matter to you whether or not Jared or me or Joe Blow, you know, bigs up the Guardians as long as they continue doing what they're doing?
I guess that's fair. Like, I mean, if the Guardians win, who really cares what everybody else thinks? It's just unusual to me that the Guardians can be top slot for so long, and people talk about Baltimore the Yankees or the Dodgers. The Yankees and the Dodgers, I get it's big market baseball.
Well, when it comes to the Orioles, their offense is stacked. Now, I'm going to give you my answer, okay? Specifically about the Guardians, and this is how I look at every single team in baseball. When you get into the postseason, and yeah, you got to get hot. Whoever the hell it is, they have to get hot. I want to know who you talk about the bullpen, but who are the dudes that are going to start the game that you feel comfortable about? Who are the guys with the, that's point number one. Point number two, when it comes down to the bats, when the offense is going to start to slow down and can slow down, who is the most, outside of, we know about Ramirez, and then you can look at Naylor. Like, am I scared of Jimenez? Like, that's the thing. It becomes difficult to generate the runs. And so, look, if you got somebody else besides Bibee, who, in comparison to the best of the best of the best, I mean, is he going to be, I would say, in a wild card matchup, just given the odds, he might be, in most cases, the second best starter, you know, on whoever he's opposing. Would you say so?
I would agree with that, but let me push back a little bit. When the Guardians pushed the Yankees to 5 games 2 years ago in the divisional round, we had the best pitching staff in all of baseball. We couldn't hit the ball over the wall. Now we have an offense and a mediocre pitching. I mean, you got no pitching. Like, we definitely need a pitcher come to the trade deadline.
So there's you're not pushing back. You're agreeing with me. Yeah. So that's
How can you knock a team for adapting from losing to the Yankees in the divisional round?
Let's slow down, Eric. There's nobody's knocking a team for adapting. That is your interpretation, and that is wholly inaccurate. I ain't talking about 2 years ago. I don't care about 2 years ago. I don't care about last year. I'm talking about how the Guardians are constructed today and right now. If you were to ask me right now, given what I know, what I see, what I can see, what I'm available to see, if we wanted to take your scenario and I wanted to take the Yankees again and pit them up against the Guardians, I would think, and I don't know, it's a crapshoot, you never know. I mean, damn it, if I have to take a Gerrit Cole and throw him on the mound and say, hey, here's game one, and I got to find, I don't know, Luis Gil or Rodon, like, it's starting pitching. And forget your team. I want to be very clear here. I'm not knocking anybody for adapting. That'd be a dumbass thing to say. The point is, I don't care what team it is, unless you can put two dudes, at minimum, on the mound that you can say, I can ride this guy. I can ride this guy. I can have faith in him that he can give me 6 or 7. He's going to be the best dude in this game. It's tough, man. And whether that guy gets hot or whether that guy is a proven commodity, if you don't have confidence in that, why aren't people talking about the Guardians? Because unless we see who that guy is or that next guy or that next guy, it's one of those things where, hey, let's just see it happen. And I'll tell you again, in the case last year of the Arizona Diamondbacks and then also the Rangers, we saw things happen. So I wish your Guardians nothing but the best of luck. It's the same thing that Jared said. Hickey, I get it from a fan's perspective. I'm still a fan. I get it. I talk about this. I stand in front of a microphone. For the life of me, I still don't get it why fans get upset or bothered or agitated when they feel that their team doesn't get what does it matter? You want to hear about your team all day on the radio and you want your team to get their asses kicked? Like, what does it matter? If your team is playing well, people will talk about them. And if people don't feel that they're going to be worth a damn, people won't. I mean, find satisfaction at the end, but it's just like, oh, nobody's talking about my national media. Well, the national media has to cover what the majority of people are interested in. Like, Guardians, it's like, okay, hit me up in October if they're beating people up. Help me, Hickey, help me.
I think a few things. Number one, I get Eric's frustration. Like, I mean, I'll say it for myself, even as someone in the industry. Like, it makes me feel better as a fan if the national media is talking about my team in a positive way, because it almost, in a way, it sounds stupid, but I think in a way it almost validates of, okay, like, not only are we just doing this in the dark, but now people are recognizing and realizing, oh, this team is really good. I think there is still is like a frustration of, like, if no one's mentioning you, like, what else do we have to do? Like, I do get it from Eric's perspective. What I'll also say to him is, I mean, part of getting that recognition and getting that attention is doing it in the postseason, right? Like, coming through, winning big games, winning big series, and we are getting further and further away from that 2016 run where, if you want to get the Guardians in the same conversation as, I know the Orioles have not done anything yet with this young core, but let's say the Dodgers and the Yankees, the Phillies, get it done in October. Go to the ALCS. You know, beat the Yankees. Beat the Orioles. Like, you want people to talk about you. Win big games, and that will happen in October.
To the first part of what you said, it's like getting a sticker in kindergarten, Hickey. Come on, man.
I know. Look, I'm not proud of it, but it is true. If my teams are being talked about in a positive way nationally, I can't help it. It makes me feel better. But, it does.
But if they're being ignored, what? There's so many teams. I mean, pick a league, 30 teams, approximately 30 teams in every major league. If the team is being ignored, you feel like a redheaded stepchild?
Like I said, this for the latest example, Brandon Nimmo is on a hot streak for the Mets. Yeah. Anytime now he does something well, I keep thinking to myself, well, should have been an all-star.
No all-star.
Does it matter? No. Are the Mets winning games because of him? Yes, that's what should matter, but I'm taking joy in his success. Also, at the same time, thinking, well, he got screwed. He didn't get the recognition he deserved. I can't help it.
Hickey, I'm going to find Grimace in a New York Mets hat, and I'm going to have him deliver a sticker right to the studio. Deal?
Deal. Oh, I can't wait to meet Grimace. I'm starstruck.
I'm going to have Grimace give Nimmo a sticker, too. A star, of course. Of course. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We have U.S. soccer legend Clint Dempsey. He's going to join us next hour. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you know what? We'll hear Paul Skeens get his love. We'll talk more Brunson, and I'll tell you about the player who's winding a part of his career down. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.